Today's shiur topic is on Ein Shir El Alayin, and the Gemara in Brachos tells us that we had the word Hilulim, and Ishi Kodesh Hilulim Hashem. We wanted to say Hilulim is two Hillels, and one Hillel was for Bracha Rishona, and the other Hillel represented the Bracha Achrona. And then the Gemara said that no, you can't use it because the word Hilulim is used for different drasha. The first drasha was last week's topic. We spoke about that you have to first be Mechalel the food, first Mechalel the Netar Vai before eating it. And the second drasha from the word Hillel, the other Hillel, is as follows. The Gemara says, Idach, davar haton shira ton chilel. Something that requires shira, that only that food requires chilel, only that fruit is required, is subject to the lachas of revai. V'sheinu ton shira, that which doesn't require shira, that type of food that has nothing to do with the song, ain ton chilel, does not require chilel, is not subject to the halachas of revai. So what's the food? What is the food that's ton shira? What requires shira then would be subject to revai? So Gemara quotes from Kedir Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, the Nayin She'ein Omrim Shira El Al Yain. How do I know that one sings a song only when there's wine, only in the context of wine? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk they bring from Shoftim, Vatomer Lehema Geffen, Hechadalti, Estiroshi, Hamisameach Elokim, Vanashim. So the Gemara quotes a Pasuk here that says that Tiroshi is wine, that the wine is Misameach Elokim, it's Misameach people. So Gemara says, "Imanoshim misameach elokim b'ma misameach." So if we say, "Oh, fine, I understand that humans will get some hana, some simcha from drinking wine," but elokim, what's the simcha? How is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to get any hana from us drinking wine? So Gemara concludes, "Mikan she'ein omrim shir el ha'yayin." So we see from here that the only place that there's going to be shira, because shira is the simcha that Hashem gets, and the simcha we get is yayin. So the only time Hashem gets simcha is when we're getting simcha. We're getting simcha from drinking wine, so Hashem therefore gets simcha from the shira. So it must be that there is a shira that accompanies the wine. And that being the case, so the Gemara says, so what is the halachas, which fruit are subject to the halachas of revai? It must be that fruit that's subject to hillel. When do we have a hillel? When do we have simcha? Dafka by wine, is there an indian of simcha? So only by wine and grapes do we have the halachas of revai, kem revai, but nowhere else is there a halacha of revai. But we see from here this concept, ein shir el el hayayin. So if you look at Rashi defines this term here. He says, She'ein Omrim, this is around 10 narrow lines down in Rashi. Rashi says, She'ein Omrim halavim shir shel karban b'mikdash, ela al hayayin, kishmenaschen nischem mizbeach. This is Rashi, it sounds very simple, straightforward. I think there are two big chidushim, I'm going to hold off on them. But just what he says is, the only time the levim sing a shir on the karban is specifically when they would be pouring the wine on the mizbeach. So Tosfos asks the question, which we all saw. He says, "Dibur Maschil She'ein Omrim Shir El Hayayin." Perish. What this means is, when I think this is very different than Rashi, but you might not pick up on this until we see it come together. Ein Omrim Shira Al Shum Achilas Mizbeach. You don't sing a song on any type of, let's say, eatings of the Mizbeach. Kigon Trikas Damim V'Nisach Hamayim Kiim Al Hayayin. The only eatings of Mizbeach, the only Achilas Mizbeach that we sing Shira is not when we sprinkle the blood. And not when we pour the water on Nesukis, only when we pour the wine is when we sing the song. Aval vaday matzinu shira belo yayin kigon halal shebishchitas psachim. There certainly are other instances where we find that there is a shira even though there is no yayin, and that's when it comes to shchita on Erev Pesach. Okay. So the kasha Tosfos has, the implicit question is, isn't there a shira Erev Pesach? But yet there's no wine. How could there be a shira Erev Pesach during the Shechitas Pesach if there is no shira? And he says, because he doesn't really explain why. But there are other places also. The only real distinction is when talking about when the carbon's eating, we only sing a song when it's eating wine. But when there's a Shechita, that wasn't what we were discussing. The Shechitas Erev Pesach, for some reason, he doesn't tell us why, is a different type of Pesach. Now, if you look at Tosfos Rush, Tosfos Rush points out other places where we have a shira, even though there's no yayin. So Tosfos points out we have Erev Pesach. Only Erev Pesach is his concern. So according to Tosfos Rush, he adds on top of that, he says, I can't find that Tosfos Rush here, but he says we also have Leil Seder. At the Leil Seder, there's also we sing a halal, and there's no yayin. Well, there's yayin, but not the same type, not dafka during the yayin. And we also find, here we go. We have Leil Pesach and B'Shas Mechama, they would sing songs as well. So those are two added things for Tosfos Rush. So the question is, why is Tosfos only ask from Erev Pesach? Why is Tosfos Rosh asking from also Leil Pesach and also the Milchama? What about the 18 other Yom Tovim we say Halal throughout the year, like the Brisker Rav asks, as we all saw on on Sukkot and on that's an interesting thing. We had Rav Shechter, when you want to get into the why use Kol Elyon. So you have to go get Shechter, among other Rosh Hashiva, ask you questions. And it could be questions from anywhere. So Shechter is known to ask very basic questions just to get people to realize that even the basics we don't know. We're busy dealing with all the complicated stuff. So for example, one question he used to ask, but everyone knows the answer now, is can a woman be a Nazir? And people would say, we'll start thinking about it a little bit, wait a second, I don't know, women have long hair in general. Shimshon was the prototype of a Nazir, and he wasn't a woman, so probably not. And he says, this is my first pasuk, says, Isho Isha ki yazir Nazir Lashem. Isha, the pasuk says, not so, a woman could become a Nazir. So another question he wants to ask somebody I know. Yes, a married woman could be a Nazir also. So then another question he had asked, this is not a regular question of his, but he asked someone my year when I was applying to it. So someone has asked the question, he did not get in, because he asked, what are the 18 days of the year we say Halal? So he starts thinking, he's like, okay, fine, Halal Shalim that is. So he's like, okay, we say 8 days of Sukkot, and then the 8 days of Chanukah, that's 16. And then there's a Pesach, first day is Halal, that's 17. And he's thinking, he's like, Yom HaAtzmaut. And he forgot about Shavuos for whatever reason, so he didn't make it into the Kol Elyon. But anyways, there are 18 days throughout the year that we do say a full Hallel. So why weren't they bothered by that? We say Hallel on during Shacharis every day of the Yontif, 18 days throughout the year. But there's no Yayin, we don't drink wine when we're singing that. So why was that not on the radar? So that's the question, why do different Yishonim ask from different places of Hallel? So let's talk about the Brisker Rav first. The Brisker Rav is dealing with the Tosfos Rosh. Well, Tosfos Rosh says, how come we don't say Hallel? I mean, the halacha is Ein Shir El HaYayin, only when there's wine do we sing Hallel. Ah, but what about Erev Pesach when we shech the Pesach? And what about Leil Pesach when we sing Hallel at the Seder? And what about Mechama? So the Brisker Rav has this very important yisod based on Erev Haigon. Without going into great detail right now, but he says that there are two types of Hallels. There's a Hallel that's Midin Kriya, which is more formalized, and there's Hallel Midin Shira, which is more spontaneous. So if Soloveitchik used to say that the Seder, Leil Seder, the Hallel we say at Leil Seder is a very different type of Hallel. For one, there's no bracha. Normally we say bracha. Number two is we split up the Hallel. We do half in the beginning, half at the end. And you point out all these different questions that Hallel is different at the Seder. And based on the Rav Haigon that's brought down in the Ran, that the Brisker Rav quotes, it's a Shira, it's a spontaneous Hallel. We're supposed to feel as if we're leaving Mitzrayim at the Leil Seder. So we're crossing the Yamsov now. We're supposed to, break out in song as to the excitement. So it's not formalized. We can't say, oh, say a bracha and follow the method. No, we're supposed to feel a spontaneous excitement. So that's the Shira that the Brisker Rav describes based on Rav Haigon. So there's some halos that are Shira, and there are other halos that are Kriya. We're just simply reading it as a formal thing and trying to just fit what we're told to do. That being the case, the Brisker Rav says, the halo that we're talking about, that we're concerned with, is a Shira. We want a Shira. So the question of Erev Pesach Hallel, Leil Seder Hallel, and Mechama are all types of Hallels that are Shira Hallels. And that's why Tosfos Rosh only asks from those Hallels, because those are Din of Shira. The Hallel we say throughout the year on the 18 days of Yom Tif, those are Din and Kriya. Where it's very formalized, we have to say Hallel, there's a Bracha, there's a Kriya involved. Those Hallels are Kriya, and that's not the type of Hallel that we're concerned with. That's why he only asks from those three Hallels, because those are Din and Shira. So that explains why Tosfos Rosh asks that question. But when you look at Tosfos himself, Tosfos says that he was only bothered by the Erev Pesach Hallel during Shechita. Why was that the only one he was concerned with? So if you guys saw the Gemara Pesachim, the Mishnah Pesachim there, Mishnah describes at length what exactly happened Erev Pesach. You have three groups of people. The first group would go in, they would shech, they'd sing a Hallel, and that would happen again, and then happen a third time. So during the Hallel, Rashi says, Karas a Hallel, Ako Kitos Kai. It's referring to the Kitos, the people of Yisrael were the ones who were singing the song. And Tosfos says, who sang the song according to Tosfos?
Levim
sang the song. And the Brisker Rav, as you saw, very important Brisker Rav, says that even Rashi agrees that Levim sang the song. There's really two songs that were going on here at the same time. Two Hallels that were being sung, the Levim and then the Yisrael. So, according to Rashi, look back at Rashi and Brachos for a second. Rashi writes, She'ein omrim halavim shir shel karbon. What does Rashi say? Ein omrim shir shel halavim. Levim are singing the songs. The shira, a shira is only defined when levim are singing the song.
Originally, in the...
So Rashi wasn't bothered by the Gemara Mesachim. Why not? No, according to Rashi, it wasn't Levim that were singing it. According to Pashup Shah and Rashi, the Kitos were singing it. The people bring it. Right. You and I were singing it. That's not the Shira that we're talking about. It's a Hallel. That's a Hallel, but that's not the Shira. So according to Rashi, that's not a problem at all. Right. What about according to Tosfos? But according to Tosfos, who understands that the Levim were the ones singing it, so that's why Tosfos has the question of Brachos. He's the Gemara Brachos says, Ein Shir El Hayayin. Tosfos asks, what about the Gemara Pesachim, then an Erev Pesach? Levim would also sing the song. So Tosa has a kasha. So he has to come up with an answer. His answer is, no, the Gemara in Brachos is talking about, we only have a shira during Achilas Mizbeach when there's wine. Yes, I agree there's another type of shira, Erev Pesach. That's also a shira. But that wasn't what we're talking about here. But he acknowledges that that's considered a shira because the Levim are singing it. So Rashi's not bothered by that question because Rashi doesn't think that Levim were singing Erev Pesach. Only Tosa asks that question because he thinks Levim were taka singing the song Erev Pesach, singing the halal.
He says Rashi doesn't think both are singing. He only thinks one are singing.
Pashup Shad is Rashi only needs one. Oh. The Brisker Rav is Mechadesh on his own. His proofs. He's Mechadesh that he requires two. So according to that, so then you have to ask Asa if he thinks Levim are singing the song Erev Pesach, how could there be a Shira if they're Levim are actually singing the song? So then, if, according to Brisker Rav, you might have to answer like Tosfos.
So they would only want. Now when we're learning it, I thought it was just combination of the Yisraelite and Levim. Here he's saying just the Levim are singing the Shira.
According to Tosfos, simple reading is only the Levim were singing the song.
I missed that little. Right. See, that's a big difference because Levim are always singing in the Beis Hamikdash at different times from Shabbos and all these other things.
Here, no, that not always singing. They're singing. They're the one when they're song. They're the, correct.
So here it made sense that the Yisraelite come. And it was a hallel because they just shek the animal.
Mm-hmm.
We got to say a hallel. And Levium kind of led them into it. Like, okay, now let's sing. And like anyone else, they all sang together. And now it's just the Levium singing.
According to Tosfos.
Which is fine. Right.
That the Yisraelites sang. What happened with the Kohanim shek? No singing by Levium?
No, the Levim would sing. They would be playing the role of bringing karbanos, and they would sing.
Every group. Now, the Levim sang because they were different groups.
Mm-hmm.
So the first group were the Kohanim that came, probably.
Not necessarily.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't have an order.
First come, first serve for the Erev Pesach. Whoever it was, according to Rashi, whoever was bringing it, whether you're Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, you would sing the Hallel when your animal is being shechted.
You would,
not the Levim.
Not Levim. Here it's saying the Levim sang.
So that's the Machlokas. Who's singing the song? During Erev Pesach Shechita, there was definitely a song, definitely a Hallel that was sung. So Rashi says it was the ones bringing it, regardless of whether a Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, the ones bringing it would sing
right.
It. And Tosfos says, no, the Levim, the ones who worked in the Beis HaMikdash, they would be singing all day, regardless of who would be bringing the carbon. So we're saying that might explain why Tosfos had a kasha from Brachos, because he thinks the whole idea of Ein Shir El Hayayin is Ein Shir Shel Levim. We're talking about the Shir that Levim sing. Ah, Erev Pesach Levim also sung according to Tosfos. So he has to answer, though, there's a difference between Achilas Mizbeach versus Shechitas Pesach. According to Rashi, maybe there's not a question, because Rashi thinks that Erev Pesach was only the Kitos, only Yisrael were singing. So it's a different type of Shira. Argumon Brachos that says Ein Shir El Hayayin referring to Dafka the Shir Shel Levim, like Rashi says. Rashi adds in the word, it's an extra word. Ein Shir Shel Levim. Why does he throw the word in Shelavim? To tell me only this Shir Shelavim is what we're concerned with here. Yes, there are other songs we sing. We sing Erev Pesach, we sing Leil Seder, we sing Bachama, but that's not a din of Shir Shelavim. That's how Rashi basically answers the question of Tosfos. Depends who's singing it is what we're concerned with.
So that according to Rashi, it comes out that when we, the Gemara's Havim, when we say She'ein Om Shir El Yayin, would only be in a case. It's a very specific case then, right?
Correct, 100%.
Like really limiting the scope of the Gemara's question.
Very much. Very much. Yep.
Nope.
Okay. Now, there's a Gemara in Erechin that has this applies this concept, Ein Shir El Hayayin. The Gemara says here, Amar Rav Masna Minayin Libikurin Shetunin Shira. How do I know that Bikurim requires Shira? So what's Bikurim? You know what Bikurim is? Bikurim is the first fruits. Of which types of fruits?
Everything.
Nope. Shivas Haminim. The first fruits of Shivas Haminim, the Bikurim, the first year, those fruits are brought to the Beis HaMikdash. There's a whole ceremony. There's a special halacha the Misha brings down when the farmers come with Bikurim and baskets, perhaps on their head. Everyone would stand up for them and show them kavod. It's actually, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and others have a Shachta also write to this. We have three places, interesting places we stand up. We stand up when the farmers bring the Bikurim. We stand up by Varach David, we stand up. And we stand up when it comes to Chasan Kala walking down the aisle. At a chasana, we stand up for them. So these are three random places we stand up.
I just heard a shiur that there's no source for people standing up at weddings. It's a new thing. They never used to do that.
Right. So some are very makbid dafka not to stand up. But the minhag is to stand up. So to explain this, such a minhag, so why do they stand up? So they connect, I think, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and I believe Rav Shechter says this also, that these three places, what's the common denominator is that they're all instances where a person's about to perform a mitzvah. You're showing kavod for one who's about to perform the mitzvah. Why do we stand up for the one bringing bikurim? Because when I show him kavod, he's doing a wonderful thing. His very first fruits of the year, he's willing to offer to bring to the mizbech, to bring to the kohanim. So we show him kavod. So the guy stands up, vayivarach David. It's customary brought down in the article in Mishnah Berurah that we give tzedakah. Osher v'chavod. It's brought down in the article. You give tzedakah there because it's connected to osher v'chavod. So we stand up for those who are giving tzedakah. And chasen v'kal, they're about to perform the mitzvah of Kedushin and Nisuin and Puruvu. So we stand up out of respect for them, not because they're a Domi L'melech, because they're not Domi L'melech, they're not a king and queen, they're not married yet. But because they're about to perform a mitzvah, we stand up for them. So that's an explanation. But either way, so how do you know that when it comes to Bikurim? People who don't stand up?
Machmir are not standing up?
It's fine. Okay. There's no real source. That's the idea. Right. They're trying to explain why people stand up. It's a nice thing to stand up. So there might be some idea behind it, but there's no real source for it.
Well, that's a different answer. But so some say that might be.
Right. So the Gemara wants to know, me nine, how do I know that when it comes to Bikurim, these first fruits of the season, specifically from Shivas Haminim, how do we know Shatu'unim Shira, that they require Shira? And the Gemara goes on to explain what the source is for this. And it goes back and forth and says, what do you mean only simcha, only thing that requires shira is something that brings simcha, and only wine brings simcha? So Gemara says, no, specifically, how do I know when I bring grapes, my first grapes of the season as Bikurim, that you sing shira when you bring those grapes? But if you bring figs or pomegranates, anything else, it wouldn't require shira. So if I were the farmer, I'm bringing my first grapes of the season.
Pomegranates are also in the seven.
They are, but they don't require shira. Only thing that requires shira is grapes of Bikurim, then you sing a shira when you bring those Bikurim. So that's the Gemara. So what's the kasha from the Gemara here, though? So the Shash here in the back says, wait a second. If you look at Rashi, I'm not sure if he quotes Rashi. Let me take a look at this for a second. I don't know if he quite asks this question, but I think the idea behind him is that if you look back in the Gemara Brachos, Ein Shir El Hayayin, so Rashi says, Ein Omrim Halivim Shir Shel Karbon B'Mikdash. Dafka, you sing a shir on a karbon. Or according to Tosfos, when the Mizbech's eating, when you're feeding the Mizbech Yayin, what happens to Bikurim?
It's still grapes.
It's grapes. And what do you do with it when you get to the Beis HaMikdash?
You're eating in that wine.
You give it to the Kohen to eat. It's one of the Matnos Kuna, the 24 Matnos Kunas. The number 24 is a big number when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. The 24 Mishmaros, that means the 24 different posts of Kohanim. The 24 Matanos. 24 is a very big number when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. So you give the Bikurim to the Kohen. So why is there a Shira? Rashi says, Ein Shira Ela Ala Karbon. The Bikurim is not a Karbon. So how is the Gemara invoking the concept Ein Shira Ela Yayin to Bikurim when in fact Bikurim is not a Karbon?
He's saying
Shir Shal Karbon. So the Rishash, I think, points out in this answer, if he's not dealing with this question, what he says will answer this question. The Rishash says, the Bikurim is also a Kain Karbon. Even though Bikurim isn't something that's being brought on the Mizbeach, it still works as a Karbon. I'll bring you other ideas for that in a second. Why? But what's his Raya? Mishum de Tuna and Tanufa. What's Tanufa?
Waving,
exactly. So when it comes to certain halachas, certain karbanos, there's a tanufa you do. You wave it up and down, left to right, all around. And that's a tanufa, it's a din and a karban. So since we do a tanufa to a bikurim, when you bring it, you wave it around. So therefore, it's similar to a karban. Even though it's not actually brought in the mizbech, it has a din of a karban. And therefore, it has the klal of Ein Shir El Hayayin. And we sing when you bring the bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash to give to the Kohen.
Is it tanufa for karbanos?
In general, it's for karbanos. Bikurim is not a carbon, but the fact that there's a tenufa indicates that it must be some level of a carbon, even though it's not brought in the Mizbeach.
What's the tenufa for carbon? Is it the blood or is it the animal?
The animal and the bread, depending what the carbon is. But there's the bread, you do a tenufa with the Shteh HaLechem. On Shavuos, you do a tenufa with the bread and the animal.
Like, is it then carbon?
Thin and carbon. It's not a crazy thing. It's something that comes to mind. This is a little bit more of a stretch, but the Yishalmi says that a bris milah has a din of a carbon.
Right.
So there are things like that.
Is there any waving?
No, there's no waving going on.
There's another common component.
Right. It could be the shechita, however, the milah, the sacrifice.
You have to eat. Rabbi Mansour said to finish because it represents a carbon. It's very important to eat the meal.
So that's like based on the Yishalmi and based on the Zohar, I believe that it's a din of carbon. You have other instances like this also. Not quite a carbon, but the shofar. The Gemara tells in Rosh Hashanah that a shofar has a din of kachay kachim, of lefnai lefnim. That the shofar, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to use a shofar from a cow because the egel hazav, ain't kateger nasa sneger, that you're not allowed to use something that was used for a chayt, for something positive. The Gemara says, what do you mean that only applies to something that's in Kosh Kadashim? Without getting into the great detail, the Gemara says the shofar has a din on that because since it goes, the tekiah goes through the Kosh Kadashim, up to Hashem, has a din of, the Gemara says this, has a din of lefnai lefnim. So there's some level of carbon that the shofar has. So they have such instances where even though it's not an actual carbon, it's not actually brought in the Mizbeach, it still has dinim similar to a carbon. So based on this, the Rosh Hashanah says that the Bikurim is similar to a carbon, and therefore it's very appropriate to apply the din of Ein Shir El Hayayin would even apply to Bikurim, because Bikurim is still in that very limited scope of a carbon.
Why can't you just say, though, that is it called a Shira over there? Is it a din in the Bikurim itself?
It says, the Gemara says, Ein Shir El Hayayin, which would seem like there should be a Hallel when you bring the Bikurim. I'm not sure if there's anything more than that. And there's nothing on the side here. So that's how he answers. So again, so there's a Shira to Din and Karbon. Like Rashi says, it's Dafka in the Karbon, Dafka in the Levium, very limited. When there's a Karbon, when there's Levium, that's when you sing a Shira. Bikurim is also a Karbon because there's a Tenufa. Now, the Reb Leib Malin asks a Chakira. Reb Leib Malin, and we don't have it here, I made copies of it when I was in YU, and then I forgot to print it out. So he says, he raises the following Chakira. Reb Leib Malin? He's recent, actually. I forget when he was Nifter, but in the 20th century. He's the one I mentioned who didn't have a beard, went to visit the Satmar Rav, I think I mentioned last time. So he's beautiful. He has two Svarim, very beautiful. Very nice. Clear lumdus. He likes kachim a lot, actually. So even in brachos, he focuses on kachim stuff. This halacha here. So he raised the following chakira. When you have shira on yayin of the carbon, is that shira din in the actual carbon? But they were just being told, when should you sing the shira? There's many times to sing the shira. I could sing the shira when I'm shechting it. After you shecht it, what's the next avoda? You do a kabbalah. There are four basic avodas for every carbon. There's a shechita, there's kabbalah sadam, there's halacha to the Mizbeach, and then there's Rico, you start spilling it. So at what point do you sing it? Should you sing when you're shechting it?
Sprinkling.
When you're shechting it? Do you do it when you're being makabel the blood? Do you do it when you're walking the blood? Do you do it when you're sprinkling the blood? There are many places to say it. So the Gemara tells us you should sing when they're pouring the Nisach Hayayin, when they're pouring the wine, which also is going to be, I'll explain to you where that takes place. Let's build the base of Migdash here for a moment, just to get you to visualize a little bit. Let's say this is the Amen. Let's say this is the East. Okay, this is the West. I do from your perspective, maybe. East, West, North,
our,
and South.
It's your perspective. Our East would be on our right, and our West would be on our left.
Okay, fine. So East, West, North, South. We're good? Okay, East. So you come in this way into the Beis HaMikdash. That's the entrance from the East. The Kodesh Kodashim is all the way in the West. So when you come into the Beis HaMikdash, the first thing you see is this big Mizbeach, and there's a big ramp going up here in the big Mizbeach. Then you had, we don't really care, but just for let you know, there's the menorah is down in the south. The center was the Mizbech Ketores, a small Mizbech where they'd put the incense on every single day. And then the top was the Shulchan. And then you have the curtains, the parochas, to get to the Aron. So right now the Mizbech, this big Mizbech with this large ramp and then the large Mizbech where all the karbanos would be brought. On the top, when you go up the ramp here, to the left for you guys, when to the left, there are two little holes. And two holes, one was for pouring the water down the hole, the Nisach HaMayim and Tzukes, and one was for the Nisach HaYayin for every single day. The Nisach Maim hole was smaller. Nisach Maim was smaller. The Nisach Yayin was larger because it's thicker. The wine is thicker. They want them to spill the same time. So on Sukkot, when they pour both down, they'd finish at the same time. You have the thicker drain for the Yayin and a thinner one for the water because water, of course, is thinner. It will go down quicker. So during the Chazal tell us, based on the Pesukim, so when you sing the shir, every carbon requires a shir. At what junction do you sing? When they pour down the wine, that's when you're supposed to sing. But it's really a din in the carbon. That's one side of Chakira. Or really it's a din in Yayin. Whenever there's wine, you're supposed to sing. Not a din in the carbon, it's a din in the wine. Now if it's a din in the wine, it's going to be a lot more expansive when else you're going to apply this din. If it's a din in the carbon, dafka. So right now the Rosh Hashanah assumed that it's a din in the carbon only. What about Bikurim? Bikurim's also a carbon. But if you assume the other way around, that it's a din in Yayin, not a carbon, but din in Yayin, then it's going to be more expansive. So Rebbe Leib Malan brings a raya from a Tosfos in Erchin, that's a din in the wine.
The wine is poured many times.
Din in the wine, yeah. Sorry?
Because the wine is poured many times when there's no carbon anyway.
You saw this Tosfos, right?
No. Oh. From what you're saying.
So listen.
You said it's more expansive.
Right.
That's what you mean.
Exactly. Well, you'll see they're going through other instances.
Where you're pouring wine and it has nothing to do with the carbon.
Exactly. Okay. So look what he says. The Gemara tells us that a shir, the song, is ma'akev a carbon. There's a whole big discussion about the singing of the song, whether the Levim have to actually say the words. Is the ikar bepeh? Or is ikar bekli? Is ikar playing instruments? Or is the ikar really the words that were being said? But either way, the Gemara says that the shir is ma'akev the carbon. If you don't say the shir, the carbon's not good. So Tosa says, Kasha, the hashir b'shas nisach ha-nisach. We sing the shir when you pour the wine. That's when you're supposed to. That's the timing. V'ha-nisach ein ma'akev es the carbon. And now the nisach itself, if I were to bring a carbon and I didn't accompany it with wine, my carbon would still be good.
According to some, not others.
No, according to everybody. Everyone says, if I don't bring the nisach that I'm supposed to bring, my carbon is still a good carbon.
Okay.
The Gemara says that I can bring my carbon Sunday, and I can bring my nisach a few days later. So it doesn't have to be specifically during the shas of the carbon. I have to bring it eventually, it sounds like, but not the same day. So he says, so wait a second. So if the shir is really a din during the nisach hayayin, and I, in theory, could bring the Nisach Hayayin 4 days later and sing the song then. So how then could the shir be ma'akev on the carbon later on? There's a big time gap when I could sing it and when I bring the carbon. It's not a din in the carbon. How could the shir be ma'akev hold back my carbon? So he answers, Nir lefari, shir ma'akev is a carbon. It means hainu nisach, she'em ein shir ein nisach. He said, no, the way you interpret it is that the shir is not a din in the carbon. It's not ma'akev the carbon. It's ma'akev the nisach. Ain shir ela nisach. It's a din in the nisach in the wine, not a din in the carbon. It's a din in the wine. Happens to be the nisach is done during the carbon, but it's really a din in the yayin.
This is the argument this way. There was an argument the other way.
Exactly. That's your Blade Malin's raya. He has a raya from the Gemara as well, but this was a nice raya.
The time period in between.
Exactly. It's a din in nisach, din in yayin. That being the case, for Blade Malin, I don't remember if he answered this himself or based on this. I wanted to answer this question.
The other one says it's just completing it, even though it's 4 days later.
Exactly.
It's still part of it.
Exactly. Right. So,
it's such a
that's the nature of it.
The one, and then the final 4 days later, why are they singing? And you know it's connected with the thing you did 4 days ago, or you did 5 minutes ago. It would seem that kind of hetzik would not make any sense. If it was important enough to do it right away, 4 days later, you know.
Yeah, I agree. The fact that there's a disconnect with pashtus is, the simple understanding is that they are disconnected, that the Nisach Yayin is not so much attached to the carbon. You're right.
And smicha takes 3 years, and the first class is connected to the degree when you got the smicha, no? No, really.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
No, there's certain instances where you could...
Sometimes
we allow for timing, sometimes we don't allow for timing.
Yeah.
So...
Is a carbon that's not brought with Nisach the same din as a carbon that's brought with Nisach? Are there any halachic differences between the two of those?
I don't think so.
Yeah, why talk about the 4 days later when you're saying that it's okay even if you don't do it at all? So then when would the shira take place?
So I think what he's saying is when it's not ma'akev the carbon, what he means is it's not ma'akev the day you bring it. You have to eventually bring the nisach 4 days later.
But what if you don't? What happens to that carbon?
Then you probably were not yotzi your carbon then. So it's like a domino effect. the shir, if there's no shira, there's no nisach. If there's no nisach, then there's no carbon.
Then how's it really a raya?
But the Tosfos is saying that the fact that there's a disconnect between the time of the nisach and the time of the carbon, it tells us that there's some. It's not a din so much in the carbon. It doesn't make sense. It's a tanai. The nisach is a tanai in the carbon, but it's not fundamental to the carbon.
It is, because your carbon was not a carbon if you didn't do it.
But that's a tanai, but not fun. If they're fundamental, then you have to bring them on the same day. The fact that you could allow for a few days tells me.
Yeah, but that tanai, if it falls off, but you still have something that you could still say that the shira is connected to the carbon, but you have to fulfill it at the time of a tanai, and therefore that's why you have a disconnect. Not necessarily that it would. I hear the other side, but not because when you take the other side of the coin. You have to have shira by every single instance of yayin.
Ain't a chanami. We're right. Okay. Well, we'll see how expensive can we take this. You're right. I mean, if you assume that it's a din yayin, so
where do you start?
Like, right. Ain't a chanami. So now this machlokas. I want before I use this hakira to explain the Gemara.
Hakira is
two ways to look at something. Is it this the first side or the second side? That's how it's used.
Two sides.
Same coin. So, it's a way to break down a concept an idea. So before we use this Reb Leib Malan to explain the Gemara why Bikurim requires a Shira, if Bikurim in fact isn't a Karbam, just let's go back to Rashi and Tosfos for a second back in Brachos. And let's make a Diak, see if the Diak makes sense still. I had this, right, I learned this a number of years ago, I had this Diak, I'm not sure if I was correct, but let's see if it is. So Rashi writes, "She'en omrim ha'levim shir shel karbon b'mikdash." You don't sing a shir of a karbon. So he already tells us that the shir is a din in the karbon, not a din in the wine. It's a din in the karbon. Ella al hayayin ki shemenaschin nischem mizbeach. The shir of the karbon only takes place ki shemenaschin when you are doing the nisach hayayin. I mean, nisach hayayin just tells me when to sing. Now's the time. That's your cue. But it's not din of the yain; it's a din of the carbon. Rashi says it's a shear shell carbon b'mikdash. The shear is a din of the carbon. When do you sing it? The cue is once they pour the wine. So I think Rashi says it's a din of the carbon. I think Tosos, this is a little bit harder to understand. Tosos, I think, says it's a din in wine. Tosos never says the language of carbon. He says perish ein omrim shira al shum achilas mizbeach kigon zrik as damim v'nisach hamayim ki imahal yain. He says the only time we sing is on wine. He's not saying you sing when you pour the wine. It's saying you sing al hayayin, on the wine. Not kishim nasna, not when there's wine being poured. It's on the wine. You're singing al hayayin, he says. Dafk al hayayin. I think that's the diak.
But in the Gemara, it flows better because, I mean, the raya we're bringing is, it's on wine. I mean, so it should be that there's a din of, there's something different about yayin. So, I mean, there is an aspect of Tosfos there that just flows a little bit better with,
I guess the simple reading is that the din is that the shear is on wine, not on a carbon.
Right.
So that would be a great raya for Rashi, but then Tosfos. That's really
a problem. Right.
The Gemara and Bikurim. So Bikurim is not a Bikurim is a good point. The according to again the Gemara reads nicely that the shear is a din in yayin, and that's when we apply that
Rashi has to come out to this. It's almost like now like a Chiddush in Rashi that you have this, that it's because again, it's really limiting the scope. So it's almost tougher to read in Rashi.
Exactly, and that's why you have to explain how come Bikurim has a din of Yayin, a din of Shirif. Bikurim is not a carbon according to Rashi. So that's why neither a Shash to say even a Bikurim is carbon. But according to Tosfos, who says it's a din in the Yayin, so Bikurim also you bring Yayin. It's also bringing grapes. So it makes sense to have a shira. You don't need a carbon to sing.
Equating wine and grapes.
Exactly, wine and grapes are the same.
You can't just say why say shira shall carbon, right? That's about why just say shira.
Yeah, the Gemara says nothing about carbon here at all. Pashas is there's not a din in the carbon at all.
But they may be saying, and it was the first time I thought, when they have the wine, is it when they bring wine, or is that the moment when they're using the wine and they throw it on, sprinkle it or on the mizbeach, that's the moment that you say a certain bracha or you sing. So it's just going through a process. A, B, C, and D is when the wine comes. It's not before.
That's what the rabbi said with Q. No, you mean Q. That's your cue to sing.
It's not the wine was saying the shear on. It's at that moment in time.
No, that's what we're saying, right. That's what Rashi says.
It's not on the wine itself.
No, that's what exactly. Right. Rashi says, we're singing, it's really a carbon requires a shira. What's your cue? You pour the wine out, now begin to sing. But right. Not a din in the yayin. You know, right. Yayin for itself is just.
There wasn't wine there. Correct. And some they've got, you wouldn't sing then.
Correct.
To them. But here, the same way, it's on the wine, but not the korban.
Correct.
So then the question really is, and we didn't, is there ever a moment that there is wine without a korban?
The bikurim, that's what we're saying.
Exactly.
We said the korban is the korban.
No, that's only according to the Rashash. But the simple understanding is that bikurim is not a korban because it's not brought in the mizbeach. So we see that's a great example that there's yayin, or grapes, and there's a shira, even though there's no korban. So that tells me it's really a din in the wine and not a din in the korban.
And one answer could be it's like a korban.
But if you assume that Rashi says that dafka the shira is a din in a korban, bikurim. Rashi says bikurim is also a korban.
And Pesach, we're saying a thing in shira at the moment that the animal is shek, the wine hasn't come out yet.
Right,
that's the problem with that.
So that exactly. So Tosos then has to figure out. So how come we have other cases of shira when there's no wine? So Tosos, who says it's a din in wine. So let's talk. Let's be more global now. What about Pesach? We're talking about only achilas mizbeach. There are other types of halels when there's no achila by the shechting and there's no wine. But that's a different type of shir, a different type of halal. That's not on our radar. We're only discussing when the mizbeach's eating, if you will, when you say it, the karbon, when you say the halal. I just want to finish here with one last Gilyoni Hashas. If Yosef Engel.
Gilyoni Hashas.
We have the Gilyon Hashas. The Gilyon Hashas without the Yud. Gilyon is Rabbi Kiva Eger, which is found in the Gemara itself. And then there's Gilyone Hashas, which is Rabbi Yosef Engel, with an extra Yud. Gilyone, the Yud as opposed to Gilyon. So Gilyone Hashas is Rabbi Yosef Engel. So in Bab Basa, Daf Tzadi Zayinim and Aleph, it says there ain't no more kiddush ela hayayin haroi linasich. This is actually we're doing this in the with the smicha chagbura.
I'm sorry, where is this?
Gemara Bava Basra daf tzadi zayin amun aleph. The Gemara tells us as follows: the following klal. The Gemara says in order the wine that's supposed to be used for kiddush on Friday night and Shabbos day, you have to use wine that could be otherwise could have been used for the mizbeach. So there's
real
certain
wine.
Require real wine.
Not grape juice.
Grape juice you could use. Gemara actually says you could squeeze out grapes and a freshly squeezed grape juice may be used. Mm-hmm. Since it's able to be fermented,
mm-hmm.
you
That's
could use
potential.
That. Potential. So, therefore, the Mechaber and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say you're not supposed to use wine that has fruit juices added or any other flavors because that would be disqualified for the Mizbech.
It would stop it from fermenting?
Not for fermenting. It's a special din. You're not allowed to put any dvash or any other fruit juices
It'd
on the Mizbech.
Adding
in, it has to be pure grape juice, pure wine. So, you know, some are machmir, but everyone agrees you're allowed to use even mixed wines. But there are those who are machmir l'chachila to try to have what's called naturally sweet wine. If you look at kedem, they sometimes write naturally sweet. That means there's nothing added to it. It's pure wine, pure grape juice. Fine. So in this context, Rav Yosef Engel quotes from a she'iltos here.
Quotes a who?
A she'iltos.
She'iltos?
A she'iltos was written by Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon was one of the gonim, the period that existed before the Rishonim. He wrote is chidushim, not chidushim so much, there's some chidushim on the order of the parshios, and he brings some gemaras in to explain some different halachas that might relate to the parsha.
Is that the name of his book?
The she'iltos. She'iltos is lashon she'ela, questions. So she'iltos. So he says, with respect to kiddush hayom, the daytime kiddush on Shabbos, which was established to be on wine, dafka hu mishum de kiddush nechshav inyan shira. Because kiddush is a type of shira. When we say kiddush, you're being mishabach, you're being mahalo, you're singing a song to Hashem. So therefore, when saying kiddush, which is a shira, you have to dafka have yayin, because ain shir el hayayin. Kiddush is a shira. Kiddush is a song. I mean, no, a song could only be when there's wine. The Gemara tells us ain shir el hayayin. So that's why kiddush was established specifically on wine.
You're equating Friday night and Saturday? Because there's a different din on drinking on Friday night and Correct. Saturday, no?
I didn't see this inside. He says Kiddush Hayom. I'm not sure if he means Dafka the daytime or he means the Kiddush of Shabbos day, even at nighttime. But the idea is that he takes this concept, Ein Shir El Hayayin, and applies it way beyond Karbonos.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Everywhere. He says whenever there's a Shira, there needs to be Yayin. Kiddush is a Shira, so that's why you have to Dafka have Yayin. So this shiltah that Rav Yosef Engel quotes would go very nicely with Tosos. Remember, Tosos says the Ein Shir Hayayin has nothing to do with the carbon, has to do whenever there's wine. So whenever there's wine, there has to be a shira. And whenever there's shira, there has to be a wine. So that means when you bring the mizbech, the carbon of the mizbech, when the yayin is being poured, that's when you sing the shira, because there's yayin. And when you bring the wine, the grapes of the bikurim, Well, because there's wine, you have to sing a shira. And when you sing Kiddush, which is now a shira, then you have to have wine. They always go hand in hand. The question is, where do you draw the line?
Where do you draw the line? And how are those, like, is there, there's got to be a distinction between those two kinds of shira then. Right? You're going to have different dunim in shira. Yeah.
Well, Tosfos says there's going to be places with a shira without yayin.
Right.
No, but it's going to, I'm saying that you're going to end up.
But right. but according to the Shiltas, though, he has Kiddush. Kiddush is a Shira and there's Yayin. So what's his distinction? According to Tosfos, says, no, that's not Din and Shira because that's not a Achilas Pesach. That's not a Achilas Mizbeach. But if you work with the Shiltas...
What did they do in the times of the... Were there Kabbalahs on Shabbos?
Yeah, there were Kabbalahs on Shabbos.
So why are you telling me there's no Kabbalahs associated with that wine on...
No, when I say Kiddush in my house, there's no carbon related to that Kiddush, my personal...
No? Not the Kabbalahs from Shabbos?
Not related to me, is it? Seabor brings it, but he seems to be saying even without Carbonos. Right.
So now that we've built this lovely building, is there an answer to this, or we really don't know?
I don't know. I'm not sure where. According to the Shulchan Aruch, I don't know where to draw the line. If he says whenever there's wine, there has to be a Shira, and whenever there's Shira, there has to be a wine. So what about Hallel? What about Hallel? When you have a Hallel, Erev Pesach, there's a Hallel, there's a Shira, but there's no Yayin. How does he answer the question according to the Shulchan
Aruch? No, he's saying that it's inherent in the wine, not in the Shira.
He says all the way around. He says, since Kiddush is a Shira, right, that means you have to have wine when there's Kiddush. Whenever there's a Shira, you need to have wine.
You do a full cup.
No, you could say that because there's Yayin in there, it's Din and Shira.
He says all the way around. He says, you know why there was a Dafka wine on Shabbos Kiddush? Because Kiddush is a Shira. And whenever there's a Shira, you have to have Yayin.
Yeah. And that's universal, that Kiddush is on Yayin. That's why we went through this on.
Yeah. So I don't know where he draws the line. I'm just leaving it as a tzarachin.
I thought you could do Kiddush on
bread.
It's
not Shir and Hallow, and that, I think, is going to get confused.
It says not to,
because it's Kiddush. They have wine, because that's sanctifying this moment, but we don't say Hallow there. We say Hallow at certain times to praise the Bnei Shalom.
Correct.
For certain reasons. The fact there is wine there is almost a matter of fact, because this is the ceremony. We have wine with this, as well as we do certain things. Like on Kiddush, we're celebrating the day with the wine. That sanctifies that for that moment. But we don't say Hallow for that. You can be saying it every week. Here, the whole beginning was, why are we saying Hallow for 18 days? And then there's some others that we do. I always got lost with this whole opinion of why is the wine? Yes, we do it. We say Hallow, but where's Hallow connecting all here? Do you know what I'm saying?
Not quite.
We're using the word Shira to synonymize also Hallow at the same time.
Right.
And Kiddush is not Hallow. That's a Shira we're calling it.
Right.
We can't call it
Shira. Right, so Shira doesn't mean, we've been assuming Shira, yeah. Very good point, it's Hallow. So Rav Yosef Engel, quoting Shulta, says it doesn't mean Hallow. Shira could be other types of prayer, other songs. Even Kiddush would qualify as a Shira. Now right. Once Kiddush qualifies as a Shira, right. So there has to be Yayin also.
I know that in Shul, your question is in Shul, we say Hallow without Kiddush. That would be a question on the Shiltas, but don't, after the Agada, don't we say Hallow on a cup of wine?
Which we do. So at the Seder, you could understand why maybe there's wine and there's Shira. That makes sense, maybe. Well, Erev Pesach, when there's Shechita, yeah. To my knowledge, there's no drinking wine taking place there. So we have instances. The Shiltas seems so expansive. Every single Yontem morning, you should have wine while you're singing Shira, according to him.
Because
wouldn't that be show that there is some sort of connection between them?
Yeah, no, it could be. But the question, are there instances? You might have to use the Brisker Rav now. The Brisker Rav says there are two types of halal. Maybe that's the answer. Only when there's a halal that didn't shira does it require yayin.
Is that a different?
Yes, you have to say the kriya. Yeah, then yeah.
Kiddush for that.
So Kiddush is a Din and Shir also. It's somehow that's a Kiddush to say. Right. It's a Kiddush. It's a Shiltas. So whenever you have something that is going to be like a Shira, whether it be Kiddush or Hallow, then you have to say that there's Yayin. So Leil Seder, there's wine. Maybe it's a Shira, so maybe it is. There's wine there. There's wine when we drink at the Seder. Erev Pesach, you would have to say, Erev Pesach Hallow is not a Shira. It has to be a Kriya. It has to be something else you would have to answer.
But it is. Isn't it one of the 18?
No, it's not. Erev Pesach is not. Erev Pesach, according to Brisker Rav, it was a Din and Shira. Maybe we could tie now that's really didn't. The truth is, there are different types of halal. So it's a different sugyo, but then we have 5 minutes. There halal, there are many instances of halal. The Brisker Rav broke down two. There's shir versus kriya. But the truth is, there are other types of halals. There are halals that sometimes accompany a Maisa Mitzvah. When we say, you know, for the Gemara says, Osa Pesach and Netzias Lulav, the Halal is a Din in Osa of the Asiyas HaMitzvah. Sometimes you have Halal, like Leil Pesach, which is about a Shir, the Pasuk says a Shir. You're supposed to sing because you're so excited. Sometimes Halal is about a Nes, the Chanukah, it's about the Nes, not about the Mitzvah. So the different types of Halals we have throughout, so maybe I guess the Shiltas is talking about specifically whenever there's a Shira. And it's very possible to say Erev Pesach Halal is not a din in Shira. It's a din in Osei Mitzvah. The Gemara Pesachim says Osei Mitzvah, those who do a Mitzvah of Pesach and those who do the Mitzvah of Lulav are supposed to sing Halal, not because of a Shira, but because it's a nice way to accompany a Mitzvah. And maybe that's the way to limit the Shilta is seemingly very expansive understanding. It's still very limited to a Halal that's a Shira. Kiddush also qualifies as a Shira.
See, but that would be the last cup of wine then, as the Shira was finished.